So let us just pray. Lord, we thank you that we can be in your house. Thank you that we can listen to your word that the Holy Spirit has put into my heart, and know that it is not from myself, but it is the Spirit that's giving us these words. Lord, as we come to the end of a year and we look at a new year, we pray that this message will be something that we can take with us and that will help us to take on the year and be better light bearers, salt carriers in this world that really needs it. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So, when Ken gave us these topics, it was kind of really difficult for me to think how we're going to talk about this, because the full topic is the completion of God's intention through the second coming of Jesus Christ. So it's like, that's quite a mouthful. So how do we look at that and make sense of that? And I think the best way for me to figure that out is to get to the beginning. Because if you've got the big picture, you know a little bit more what's going to happen. And as well, it's important for us to be able to have to know where you come from, to be able to know where you're going. So, we know Earth is the perfect place for life, and everybody's trying to find life on other planets. We know there's a few factors that is important. The distance from the sun is perfect because it allows water to be in a liquid state, which is the basis of life. The magnetic field around our planet, that's the ones that we can see in the northern lights, that protects us from the cosmic radiation, and that's what happens when you see the lights, that radiation bounces against that magnetic field. Our atmosphere is very important. It's like a quilt around us, keeping everything into a good balance. All the chemicals, there are carbon and there are oxygen and nitrogen that needs to be in a real good ratio to make sure that things work out. And then the moon, we're the only planet that really has got a significant moon. And the moon is there to help stabilize the axis of our planet as it's revolving around the sun. If you didn't have a moon, then you can be very wobbly and things can change drastically. There's no real stability. So every time you look at the moon, think about it, it's got a good reason to be there. Otherwise, it would be really troublesome. So God made Earth for us to live in, and he gave us a creation mandate. He said, what are we to do on this Earth? He said, to enjoy the abundance, beauty, and fruitfulness of creation, to have dominion over it, and to guard and keep it. So we go back to Genesis 1, verse 26. God said, let us, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, make mankind in our own image, after our likeness, and let them have complete authority over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the tame beasts, and over all the earth, and over everything that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image and likeness of God, he created him. And that's when we come back to something that I've said before. We as a human being have three parts, like the triune God, the body, the soul, and the spirit, because it images, it's the likeness of God, which is God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, using all its vast resources in the service of God and man, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over every living creature that moves upon the earth. So God wanted us to really make the earth better, make something out of it. And he gave us all the resources, and that's why it's so wonderful to see how people in the creativity that each and every one of us has in different spheres, the different gifts that we have, we make this place a better place. Genesis 2, verse 15, and the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and guard it. But then the fall happened, sin happened, and what was the problem? Well, violated God's commandment. He said, told Adam and Eve, don't eat from that tree, the knowledge of good and evil. So man disobeyed that. Second thing is disobedience of Adam to rule, because God said you have to rule, and he let the serpent rule and say, no, take this, this is good for you. So two ways of how sin came into the world. So, Genesis 3. Then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us to know good and evil, and now lest he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. It sounds very harsh that God threw them out of the garden, but the risk was that man would have taken the fruit of the tree of life and lived ever forevermore in the fallen state, and that would have been a problem. So that's why he sent man out of the garden, and there's this cherubim with a flaming sword preventing man to go back to the garden. So you go out there and you toil in the sweat of your face, as they said. Then Genesis 6, verse 5 to 8, we've seen man has moved on, but unfortunately not in a good way. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I've created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But luckily, he found one man, Noah, that found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and that was an opportunity for God to give mankind a second chance. So we had a second chance when Noah comes in the picture. Genesis 6, but I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark, you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you, and of every living thing of all flesh you shall bring two of every sort into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female. So God said, okay, Adam, you lost the ball. Let's give Noah the chance again. So he restated the mandate that he gave Adam and Eve. And God pronounced a blessing upon Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And the fear of you and the dread and terror of you shall be upon every beast of the land, every bird of the air, all that creeps upon the ground and upon all the fish of the sea. They are delivered into your hand. Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. And as I gave you the green vegetables and plants, I give you everything. So, fresh beginning. But, unfortunately, history repeated itself. So, disobedience continued. Genesis 11. Now the whole earth had one language and one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. That was at Babel. And they said, come, let us build us a city and a tower whose top reaches into the sky, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered over the whole earth. And God said, you have to multiply and fill the earth. But they said, no, we're going to build a nice tower here, and we're going to stay just here. And they thought, well, we'll reach up to the heavens, we will make a name for us. So God said, the Lord said, indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language, and this is what they began to do. Now nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city. So they had to be prodded. This is the way you have to fill the earth, and you have to develop the earth. So, I must not say so. My wife says, keep on saying so many times. Okay, so Genesis 12. Now the Lord had said to Abram, God saw that second chance around was difficult as well, so he had to make provision, and he did it through Abram. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all of the families of the earth shall be blessed. God's promise to Abram was, and in your seed, Christ, shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, and by him bless themselves, because you have heard and obeyed my voice. Now, if we look back, so that was the Old Testament. Then we come to the New Testament. It has been given to us. It has come true, because Colossians 1:13-14, the Father has delivered and drawn us to himself out of the control and the dominion of darkness, and has transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have our redemption through his blood, which means the forgiveness of our sins. And God purposed that through and by the intervention of him, the Son, all things should be reconciled back to himself, whether on earth or in heaven, as through him the Father made peace by means of the blood on the cross. That is that second chance fulfilled. We now have Christ that made sure that we, as humans, have the opportunity to get back to the Lord. Now, the first coming. What did Jesus do during his first coming? Okay, he was born as a baby, and he lived here, had a three-year ministry, and he had a certain job to do. What did he do? He inaugurated God's kingdom. He preached about the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 4. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He brought the two together, heaven and earth. And he is the connection between earth and heaven. Verse 23, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Second thing he did, he bore witness to the truth of salvation. John 18, Pilate therefore said to him, are you a king then? Jesus answered, you say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. And in John 14 he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He put down the necessary way to get back to God. Now, the third thing that he did was to fulfill Old Testament prophecies. And there's over 300 prophecies that he has fulfilled. Now, mathematically, it is kind of really mind-blowing, because if he would have only fulfilled 8 prophecies, the amount of zeros is too difficult to explain. So somebody had made a nice explanation about how it practically will work. If you fill the state of Texas 2 feet deep in silver dollars and squeeze them around, and you put $1 painted red in there somewhere, and you blindfold somebody and say, go and pick up that red dollar. That's the chance that it would be to fulfill 8 prophecies. So he has fulfilled more than 300. So we see that that is for sure an amazing way that this cannot be done by human means. The fourth thing he came to do, he came to seek and save the lost. Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that what was lost. and he brought restoration. In his first coming, he came as a baby, humbly born in a barn, entering Jerusalem on a donkey. But his second coming, he will come with power and glory to restore creation to its original intent. And that is the intention of God. He wanted us to experience earth the way that he wanted it in the beginning, before sin came into the world. And that's how it read for us, that he will come. He will come this time as a victor, not as a humble baby. The intentions of God by sending Christ twice, to restore the relationship with him, for us to experience earth as he intended it to be, and to prepare for us the new earth and the new heaven. We have seen now the first coming. He's done a few things that was needed for us to understand that he is the Savior. He is the mediator between God and us. And we as human beings can accept that sacrifice. We can accept that free gift of eternal life if we accept him as our Savior. And every Sunday in the morning, breaking of bread, we have the ability and the opportunity to come here and confirm that we have accepted that. So that is a very important thing, if you've accepted him, that you do at least once a month come and take the breaking of bread, because it will just strengthen you and make you more aware of what faith is about. Because sometimes faith is like a fuzzy thing, and we have to know that it is part of our life. It is not a Sunday thing. It is this thing that goes through the whole week. Now, second coming. There were seven purposes for his second coming. First purpose, Christ will come for the church, the rapture. So, in this situation, it is not really, he won't come with his feet on the ground. We know that he will come, the rapture, we will meet him in the air. The church, people that believe in him and has accepted him, will go and meet him in the air, and he will take the church away. He will not completely come to the earth. Once he comes to the earth, that is the official second coming. John 14, in my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I am going away to prepare a place for you. And when I go and make ready a place for you, I will come back again and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And we talked previously about how it worked, how it showed the Jewish wedding where the bridegroom goes to his father's house, prepare the place, maybe an addition or build on or build a house next to his father's house, and then he will come back and take the bride and bring her to his father's house. So that is what it shows towards. Second thing, Christ will come for the salvation of Israel. And Israel is a very central theme, and in the next Family Bible Hour theme, we are talking about what Israel's place is in the whole picture. So it is the tribulation. Now the tribulation is there to give Israel a second chance to come to him, because Israel is his nation, and he wants them to be saved. But they are blinded, they're thinking, still waiting for another Savior, Messiah, and they don't accept him. But through the tribulation, a lot of the Israel people will accept him, and they will come back to him. Romans 11, I do not want you to miss this hidden truth and mystery, brethren. A hardening has temporarily befallen a part of Israel to last until the full number of the ingathering of the Gentiles has come in. And that is the wonderful thing, that the way that Israel has not accepted him has given us as Gentiles the opportunity to become eligible for the kingdom. And that is why we think, oh, he's not coming. But it's important that all the Gentiles, all of us, people outside of the Jewish culture, come towards him. And then, when the full number has come in, then he will come. And so all Israel will be saved. As it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion. He will banish ungodliness from Jacob. Third thing, Christ will come to destroy Satan and the Antichrist. 2 Thessalonians. And then the lawless one, the Antichrist, will be revealed, and the Lord Jesus will slay him with the breath of his mouth and bring him to an end by his appearing at his coming. And we know that that is where the Battle of Armageddon, the whole end of the world thing happens, where Jesus will come and destroy Satan and throw him in a pit, bind him for 1,000 years, because then the 1,000-year peace reign will happen. Fourth, Christ will come to judge the Gentile nations, Matthew 25, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one another as a shepherd separates his sheep from the goats. Every knee will bow before him, no matter what. Either you do it now, before he comes, or you will do it then. And that's the choice. That's the easy choice. Then, the fifth thing, Christ will establish his millennial kingdom. In Zechariah 14, it says, and his feet shall stand that day upon the Mount of Olives, which lies before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall split in two from the east to the west, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth. That would be the time when, after the battle, Satan will be put in the deep pit for 1,000 years, and Jesus will reign with us, the saints. Revelation 20, verse 4, then I saw thrones, and sitting on them were those to whom authority to act as judges and to pass sentence was entrusted. Also I saw the souls of those who had been slain and beheaded for their witnessing to Jesus and for preaching and testifying for the word of God. And they lived again and ruled with Christ the Messiah 1,000 years. These people were the people that came through the tribulation, but they will join us in the reign of Christ. We have it easy if we take it as the rapture. An easy choice. The sixth reason, for the marriage supper of the Lamb. There's going to be a big party. The kingdom of heaven is like a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. Revelation 19, verse 7 to 9. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, that it is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. That would be a big party. The seventh thing, to fulfill prophecy. In Jude, he said, now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners spoken against him. Now the book of Enoch, as you can see, he was kind of only seven generations after Adam, and he already prophesied that Jesus would come with his saints. The book of Enoch is not in the Bible, but it was also found with the scrolls, the Dead Sea Scrolls. There's many reasons why it's not in the Bible. Some said, well, the Roman Catholic Church wanted to suppress it and not put it into the Bible. But we know that Enoch was a man that walked with God. He was the one that they say did not die. God just took him away. We can know that what he prophesied would be truth. We come at the end of the year, New Year's resolutions. And I drive past the Alliance Church, and on their little board it says, may your troubles last as long as your New Year's resolutions, which we know is true. New Year's resolutions are a really thing that doesn't really happen. You make a lot of good intentions and rarely keep it. But I would like us to have just one New Year's resolution and see if we can can keep that New Year's resolution. Let us be spiritual contributors, not spiritual consumers. And I think that is very important, that we as believers, we as a family of Christ, just don't sit in the chairs and warm it. Don't just consume. We have to be contributors, because this world out there needs us. They need Jesus. And the only way they will get to know him is if we show him through our words and our deeds. And that is the only way we can do it. Sometimes you can speak to people, but most of the time the way that we act is a very much more important way, because then they can see that you walk the walk, not just talk the talk. So if we can think about that, just don't consume, contribute. And each and every one of us has a gift. No question about it. You're not giftless. Find your gift. There are many things on there. We have had help books or books that actually you can go through these things, and it can show you what your spiritual gift is and apply it, because that is the way that you will be a contributor. Now, in the evangelism explosion, we had this kind of acronym that we say that you can use how to grow. Matthew 6, verse 33 says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things that we worry about shall be added to you." How do we seek the kingdom of God? Well, I've broken it down to BP, WWF. It's like thinking about the WWF. This is something you have to do. It is an active thing, and you're going to, if you do this, it will strengthen you. You will be a force to be reckoned with through the Holy Spirit. B for Bible reading. And the Gospel of John is really, when we actually discuss with people and present the Gospel to them, if you read John, one chapter a day for a new believer, that is a wonderful way to solidify, to get the picture, and to really make sure that you know what it's all about and come to understand the heart of God and the heart of his Son. Gospel of John. Prayer, we've heard a lot about prayers, and you know, corporate prayer, individual prayer. Prayer is the lifeline. It is the breath of your spiritual life. And the more you practice it, the better you get at it. And you don't always have to pray aloud. You can pray within yourself. You don't have to keep it only for Sundays or only twice in the morning or in the evening. Pray during the day. It is like breathing. Prayer needs to be in our minds and our forefront of our minds often. I personally sometimes when I, you know, in the surgery and I feel like, oh, this doesn't look good. How am I going to do that? I pray. I said, Lord, help me a little bit here. I'm not sure, because you're the one that made this body. You will know how to fix it. So let me just fix it a little bit better here. Worship, W, worship, regular church attendance at Bible teaching church. That is the first W. The second W is witness about what Jesus Christ means to you. And the last, that F, is fellowship. Have fellowship with fellow believers. That will help you growth in faith. And that is what we see here. It is so wonderful to see the church full, see people come here, and that way we really support each other. It really helps us. And that is why one should attend a church regularly, not just because it's a ritual, but because it's something that helps you to grow. Just want to close with the Lord's Prayer, because that is, Jesus told his disciples, that's how you should pray. And it's interesting to know that the kingdom is first and foremost what he was thinking about. So the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.